good evening. Come in, come in. Welcome to House of Mystery.
Do you have any rooms available?
Yes, we have room for you.
How much for one night?
For you is free. One night. It is raining. And besides, you have a certain quality that we need.
For free? Thanks, man. You're a lifesaver. Man, this place is creepy. It's out in the middle of nowhere. You have any ghosts?
Ghost? No. No ghost. Not yet. But we have everything else. We've got UFO. We've got conspiracy. We've got true crime. Alternate history. But no. No ghost as yet.
Thanks for the room. Do you mind taking me upstairs and showing me the room?
Yes. Yes, of course. This way to the elevator. Here we are. This room is for you.
Hey, you don't need to shove me. Man, this room is dark. I can barely see a thing. Are you sure this is my room?
What the hell is that moving around in the dark?
Sir, the door seems to be locked from the outside.
Now we have ghost. Now it is your turn. Welcome. Will you be needing a room in the House of Mystery?
You have now entered the House of Mystery on KXIM 98.3 FM Iowa with your hosts Al Warren, Kev Thompson, and Julie Sav.
Something a little different. A show filled with British etiquette and humour. From the delightful Julie Saville, a medium working with spirit across the UK. Welcome to the Julie Sav Show.
Pretty woman, won't you pardon me? Pretty woman, I couldn't help but see. Pretty woman.
Okay.
You let me know when you want me to go.
You can go anytime.
Okay, ready, James?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Okay, cool. Okay, and very good welcome tonight to the Julie Sav Show. And with me this evening, I'm incredibly lucky and honoured to be able to interview James Van Praagh, who is very well known to myself, and I'm sure to many of the listeners to the show, including those in the UK. So as an author, producer, personality, and just an amazing clairvoyant and spiritual medium, thank you, James, for joining me today on my show.
Thank you, Julie, very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, for everybody listening, I need to make people aware, I guess, that we've spoken before. We had an interview and there were some technical difficulties. And so we're almost kind of trying to, well, we're never going to replicate the interview because I've got lots of different questions. But we had a real giggle before.
I thought that was on air. That's okay. We can always just have fun, no matter what, whether it's good or not, doesn't matter. We always have fun.
Absolutely. And I always learn something from anybody that I interview, and yourself included. But what I remember most about the last interview was that, you know, there was so much giggling right the way through. And having looked online at several of your interviews, that's the one thing that people quite often will comment on, that they have a good, they have, just have genuinely good fun when they are with you and they interview you.
Well, that's also people, my audience, who have come to a show of mine and they have no idea what it would be like. And at the end, they say, well, I never thought you had such a sense of humor. You really are funny.
Yeah, and it's so important, isn't it? Because actually we're, you know, all mediums are people. And if you can't express the funny side to life, then it would be a pretty dismal show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like really, life is too short. You got to have fun.
Absolutely. So what coming on to just an understanding for our listeners about yourself, James, and how you sort of fell into spirituality and mediumship, you know, you're called a survival evidence medium. What does that mean? To people who don't understand mediumship, what would that mean?
Sure. Well, I was born with the ability to see spirit and to hear them speaking to me in kind of my head, kind of my mind. So I'm what's called, and I feel their personalities, so I'm called clairsentient, so I can sense their personalities. I hear their thoughts, so that's called clairaudience. And also they'll show me themselves, and that's clairvoyance. And I see subjectively within. I've always done that at best way, and I was always supported by my mother, and she always said, oh, that's okay, you know, you can't tell everybody you can do this sort of thing, because not everybody can do this. But, that approval, it was natural to me, but I didn't see it all the time, probably 6, 7, or 8 years of age, and then it kind of stopped until my 8 years, and then it stopped until my 20s, when I started opening up meditation, and then being able to see it.
And that's really important that you've pointed out the meditation, because it's one of the areas that many people who understand that they have that ability will try and bypass. And actually, it's the one thing, isn't it, that brings us closer to spirit and allows us that space and allows us to bring that space that's around us.
Exactly.
And to kind of connect greater.
Exactly, Julie. Exactly right. There's got to be a sense of our soul has to connect with their soul. And we really have to have a relationship with our own soul. And the best way to do that is to really sit in the quiet, to start listening to your inner voice. And that's the best way to do that is really to sit in the quiet. I know past mediums and centuries past and well-known mediums used to sit in the dark for a long, long time, for many, many years, and really just let the spirit world work with the sensitivity, if you will, of their energetic body, and also work with their own normal human, I guess you say, sensitivity. And I was the same way. I sat for 7 years every Tuesday night for at least 2 hours with a British medium, and really to open up my sensitivity, if you will, and that really helped a lot. And nowadays, we live in a society where mediums don't feel a need to really sit and develop like that. And I think that's a big error, because I think the best way you can develop as a medium, to me, is to have a relationship with your soul first and foremost.
And you describe, in one of your videos, had a look at some of the excellent videos that you've put online in terms of trying to help people with support and develop their mediumship, that for somebody to sit quietly and imagine that space above you.
Yes.
Because that's inherently where spirits kind of, frequent or reside. So can you tell us a little bit more about that, James?
Sure. So I believe, and of course I get my information based upon the downloads, if we're going to call it that, from the spirit world. And I believe that the soul is the mind and the mind is the soul. And I think physical death, the brain dies with the physical body, but the mind continues on. And I believe that this body, this physical body that we have right now, is just about 20% of the soul, where 80% of our soul is outside the body. And I believe that the spirit world are all around us and vibrating, if you will, a different frequency of energy. But they're always around us. It's not like this linear physical world where they go somewhere and they don't come back. They're connected to us in some way, whether it's through bonds of love or a certain commonality we share. But they are always with us. They're with us quite often. So the space around us, if we start paying attention and place our mind to that space around us, that's when we can open up the door to the spirit world and really start beginning to hear them and become one with them. So again, done through meditation, mind journey, focus work, just to open up to that space above us and around us is where they are. And that's how I teach people.
And so on one of your videos, you talk about every time we do mediumship, as though you opt in and out of it. So is mediumship for you something that you're able to switch on and then you do, or is it something that is always with you and spirit can be, if they absolutely need to get a message through, they will just come through?
Yeah, so the way I developed as a medium, and I think that the right way to develop correctly as a medium, is to learn how to open up the, if you will, the energetic centers, the chakras of the body. And it's almost as if a radio, turning on the radio and tuning in to the station. So I will, before I work, I will open up and I will open up the centers, each center. I'll use the rainbow colors and I'll just open up each energetic center. And then I'll put myself through, like, again, a mindset, or I'll ask a prayer, I'll set an intention to my guides that I am ready to work, now I'm beginning, I'm receptive, please begin. Not to say that when you're walking down the street, sometimes a spirit comes to you. Yes, that does happen, but your focus isn't there. The focus is not as clear. So I often say to mediums that are just beginning, you can't always be on constantly, because it's your adrenal system will burn out. It's very much like a ceiling fan being turned on and leaving it on all the time. That motor keeps on going on and on and on. Eventually, you have to it'll burn out if you leave it on. So the adrenal system, the endocrine system of the medium needs to be, if you will, respected and only used when you're going to be doing the work. Now, it's very, very different than a psychic. We're all psychic. Every one of us has psychic energy, which is intuition, which is the soul's voice. So you can feel energy, sense energy all the time. That's very different than mediumship, which is communication with the higher forces. So everybody is intuitive, and usually we're pretty open psychically most of the time.
And that's what they're saying, obviously, is that all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums.
Correct.
I wish people would understand that. Information that comes to me is much more about validating the existence of an afterlife rather than and that kind of communication with spirit that can be ongoing rather than any sort of psychic. I mean, whilst that can become part of your reading, where somebody might give you an indication of a crossroad or a bigger decision that's got to be made and have some influence over that, but definitely the majority of things that come through to me is about that validation.
And it's very good to, we talked before about opening ourselves up to that space above our head and above us, which is a spirit world. And as a medium, as a developing medium, really what you want to do is to learn how to blend the spirit people coming into your own space and let them really take hold of you and you becoming them, two becoming one. Where through the evidence, you can tell I have a lady here, she has brown hair, she has brown eyes, she died around 73, 74, she talks about a heart attack or whatever it might be, you become one with them. So that helps with your blending with and survival evidence. That's really the best. That's why I think using that space to also bring them in blending is important.
See, for you, you are very free and very humble and you're very giving of support to people. Whilst you've got your own school of mystical arts, you've... Yeah. And people can pay and be supported by you, mentored by you.
Yes.
You also give many, many free demonstrations of how to develop on
yes.
your YouTube channel, etc., which most people wouldn't do. So how do you? How do they differ from your school of mystical arts, those videos on YouTube?
All I would say then is why wouldn't they give it away? Because it's certainly not their information. It's the spirit world. It's there to share because... I was given this information when I was first starting, and I think it's ours to share. That's really what it is. I always believe, Julie, that this is really interesting. This just came to me very recently. Spirit gave this to me in my head, where they said, you know, you human beings have what's called time, and you borrow time. And just like you might borrow some item from your neighbor, let's say a cup or some dinnerware from your neighbor or a friend, whatever you borrow, you want to make sure that you return that item even better than you got it, right? Mm-hmm. So the same thing with time. I think we have to return time when we leave this world in a better way. Same with the earth. So we borrow our time on the earth. We need to leave the earth a better world than we found it. And if sharing this information does that, which I think it does, then we need to do that. I personally go into with my JVP School of Mystical Arts really the nitty, we call it the nitty-gritty, of the ways, the methods that I've learned on how to develop as a medium. And that's what I'm sharing with people, how I learned that it would help them. So I just give out what I've learned. That's what I don't keep anything hidden. It shouldn't be that way. To me, it's just borrowed.
So one of the most popular questions that mediums get asked, and I'm sure you must hire answers.
Excuse me, Julie, 1 second. I have a message. Can I give you a message?
Yes.
I want to say happy birthday to your mother, Lynn. Happy birthday, Lynn.
Thank you very much.
I know she's listening. I want to wish her a very happy birthday.
she's definitely listening, and that would have made her day. Believe me, she's a very... my mum is very, very much interested in spirituality. She's never kind of developed or delved into that herself. Yeah. I think she thought it was quite a natural thing for me to do. She was in the days of Doris Stokes, Mum was a very, very keen reader of her books, and she was lucky enough to get tickets. I was about 12 years old, and she was lucky enough to get tickets to go to one of Doris's stage events. And at that last minute moment, she wasn't able to go. And I went, actually, at the age of 12. And for me at the age of 12 to watch this lady come out on stage and give all these messages, I really didn't have much understanding of what was going on. And funnily enough, and weirdly and bizarrely, I was kind of the more spiritually sensitive one in the family.
It was meant to be that way. And it's very funny to say Doris Stokes, because I will watch YouTube of Doris Stokes many times before I go on the stage to get inspiration.
She was a very humble lady.
Yes, I'm a Capricorn lady, very humble.
One of the things that I was just coming on to before we mentioned my mum's birthday, and we won't mention her age, but one of the things that we were I was thinking about was that as a medium, we quite often have the same question asked of us. And you hear many mediums give very different answers, and that is what happens when we pass over, what happens when we die. So why do so many mediums report it so differently?
I don't know. I don't know what their background is. I don't know. You know, I don't know what their experiences are. I just know what mine are, really. That's what I can base it on. And I know that for me, my experience of it is that there is no death. So it's very much to leave the body painless. There is no pain in death. It's a change in consciousness, if you will. I think our spirit leaves the body every night we go to sleep in our dream state. I know that when we're met there, we don't die alone, but there's really, if you will, a reunion of loved ones who come to get us. They come to really help us over, greet us. My friend Olivia recently just passed away at 82, and she couldn't wait, and she had all these people there that were important in her life, and then those that were not really significant in her life, but she knew them, they also came to meet her. So I think that that's our homecoming, if you will. I think that when you all first pass over also, there is what's called a life review. And I think you look back at your life and you see all the lessons that you've passed and those you didn't pass, how much love you left on the earth and that you didn't live, the opportunities that you had that you didn't fulfill, if you will. So I think there's a little bit of that as well. And I think that every single person who goes to their memorial service or service, if they have one, but they'll be around their loved ones for sure and letting them know or trying to let them know that they're alive. That's quite common.
And that's, when I heard you talk about people attending their own funerals or their wakes, that was, it's very comforting, isn't it, to believe that. And quite often, using social media, etc., you will see those images of white feathers, robins, etc., floating around saying, well, if you see this and a loved one is close. And I don't believe in those so much. I do understand that. And obviously, clearly, I recognise that spirit will try and make contact with loved ones as and when they're able to and when it's important to. But I think it can be quite damaging for people's belief systems when you see social media portray it in such a flippant way.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. And because you know me now a little bit, I'm very down to earth. When my father did first pass, we had a wake for him. And I was speaking with my old principal, a nun who I had at Catholic school, which is, at first of all, clearly she was still alive. She had to be over 100. And my brother and I were speaking to her. And my father came next to me. The spirit of my father came right to me. And he said, thanks for putting my teeth in. I look pretty good. Now, that's pretty weird because we had just commented on his teeth. We put in his mouth and he's lying there in the coffin, which is strange. But it was funny because that they are there to see things. I agree with you when you say social media can be flippant about certain things. And people often ask me, are the birds, the robins, the butterflies, the dragons, are those my dead mother? Is that her? Is that her? And my response to that is yes and no. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, to me, what it could probably be, more likely, is that the spirit of the mother is standing right next to the loved one and projecting a thought of herself into the mind of the loved one. And at the exact same time, the loved one sees a butterfly and therefore associates mother with butterfly. And I think that's more what happens.
Yeah, I think it's a shame sometimes when you see those images on social media and they just get passed around and around and around saying, oh, you know, this person, you know, because we've seen a feather, this is what it means. And actually, it's very individual for each person. And like you said, that's a much more sensible and realistic way of thinking about it, rather than there's a feather on the floor, that means somebody stood there or they're trying to give that message.
Yeah, I mean, that's also how do we know until we pass over, because I think there's so much more in that world, and they can affect things, do things in ways that we really have no idea of in this three-dimensional world. So, you know, who knows? I agree with you. People are very careful and responsible for what they say in social media, of course. That's one thing I found out with mediums and this work, that, boy, responsibility factor is a big one, and a lot of people don't seem to get that when they're working in this field. That they don't get the sense of responsibility. And to me, it's like working as a medical doctor or a lawyer, or you have someone's life in your hands. And the work as a medium is to really enable people, not disable people. It's really, really important.
I was speaking to somebody only recently about paranormal investigations, actually, and how we, as mediums, present in those situations. And for me, I'm always saying, you have to evidence everything.
Yeah.
And I could say anything you want me to say.
Yeah.
But unless it's evidence, you won't believe it anyway.
That's exactly so, right.
And so when somebody, you know, again, I'm sure you find the same thing. People send you picture after picture of rooms with orbs, and they're meaningless. And I don't mean that in a horrible or flippant way. But actually, in the context of how they were taken, where they were taken, what they meant to that person, what was happening at the time, is very much, for me, I would need to have a very balanced view over it.
Yes.
Whereas some mediums would say, absolutely, orbs exist, that's clearly what's happening there, because they're reacting to the belief system of the individual presenting the picture.
Yes. See, when I say to people who send me orb pictures, I say, well, what did you ask the orb when you saw that, or you had the first reaction? Did you send that a thought, and what was the thought that you received? Have them do a little more discovery in it, not just accept it for what right there. It's something, some phenomena, but I don't know necessarily if that's the loved one. So I'd like more investigation to be done.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's really, it's very important that we remain evidence-based, because that's how we improve the communication that we have. It's how we then evidence that life goes on. And that people can communicate. And as you know, you said yourself, there's that. The detail is what's important. If people go on stage or they go into one-to-one readings and they're offering blasé, vague comments, it's meaningless.
Yeah, of course.
And it has to be very, very particular.
As we say in the U.S., and forgive my English here in the U.S., it pisses me off. I'm sorry.
Yes.
It makes me very angry that I see that. I see that a lot. And there are these mediums who say they're mediums, but they're really just psychic. They're not doing mediums, they're doing psychic work. You know, I have a lady here, she loves you very much. I'll leave you with that. Like, what does that mean? I mean, it really gets me, you know, because you really have to work hard to do the work, and it's got to be evidence-based. Yes, a medium will every once in a while fall down into the psychic, but there's got to be some evidence coming out of that immediately. I'm very, very skeptical. People find it very funny that I'm skeptical. And they say, well, I'm skeptical. I said, how could you be a skeptic? I've always years of doing this work. I said, I'm very skeptical of others who say they do the work, because they have to prove it to me. I went to a place called Lilydale, which is Lilydale is a spiritual camp in New York, very famous place. And I went there with the head of Lilydale, who went to watch mediums up in called the Stump. It's an outside area. And they had guest mediums go on. And they were all reading psychically. And I said, this isn't good. And she goes, isn't it terrible? And I said, the quality is very, very bad. I said, you can't have them call themselves mediums if they're just doing psychic work. This is not what mediums should do. It's really irresponsible, and it's Yeah, I think it's just this, it's wrong to do something like that. That's always been my thing and doing this work, where like I'm against those people who say they are mediums, they're just reading psychically. But I find that not like that. Sorry.
No, I totally agree with you, and I think it's as a medium, it's that sort of almost perfect information that you see makes such a huge difference to somebody that absolutely keeps you focused and keeps you wanting and committed to doing the job that you're doing in the right way. And I remember saying to you before that I remember being on stage and somebody was in the audience and said, I didn't know this person. And I was talking about her late husband. And then as I was just about to go, I had to give her the word. The word was Viola, and I wasn't sure what the word meant. And I said, I just need to tell you this word. It's a very important word to you. And she said, it is. And she burst into tears. And she said, it's the word that myself and my husband agreed that whoever would go first, we would give permission to the other person to have a new relationship and to move on.
Wow.
She said, and the word was Viola.
Wow.
She said, and I've met somebody, and you've just given me the word. Now, it's information like that that leaves you feeling so humbled to the power that spirit has in being able to communicate that clearly. And for that person, her whole life had changed in that moment.
And that's what it's about, isn't it? That's exactly what it's about, right there.
Absolutely. So I think I also remember saying to you that I went for an interview for Psychic TV some years ago. I thought, well, I'll go and see what this is like. And you have to go through a series of tests. So I did all of that. But when I went through to the interview in the studio, it was the same studios as Babe Station. And I don't know if you've seen Babe Station, but Babe Station is almost like a soft porn site.
Oh, geez.
On the television where women gyrate with a phone in their hand.
Oh, my.
They ring them. And I remember going in thinking, well, I'm in the wrong place. And I said, oh, no, Julie, come on in. And so I went in for this interview for Psychic TV in a place where women were going up and down on poles.
Oh, my God.
And they offered me some work on their channel. However, you weren't allowed to use the word medium. You weren't allowed to use, you weren't allowed to use the word psychic. You weren't allowed to use the word medium. And you weren't allowed to say who it was that had come through.
So
at that point, it was a no-go for me because that's not what mediumship's about. So I didn't do it because I just didn't think it didn't live up to the values that I think we should be holding.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. People's idea of mediumship and psychic work is very different. It really is what it really is, I think. So that's why we're educating people, because we have to enlighten them and educate them to what the right definitions of these words are, and educate those practitioners who don't know what the hell they're doing, because they're misusing, it's misinformation that they're giving out, and that's wrong. Hurt people.
So, I mean, on that note, though, James, and knowing that you have got a good sense of humour, when we start out in this world, and I mean in terms of mediumship, we have to learn to hold our tongue and to understand that sometimes less is more.
Yes, this is true.
So can you think of a time that is funny that will make our listeners giggle?
Yes.
Where your tongue has run away with you and then you suddenly realise the mistake you've made?
Oh, yes. Many a time. I for people that know astrology, my moon is in Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is adventuresome, independent, go-getting. And my moon is there with the emotions. So I like to have fun with my students as well as the guests I have in my presentations. But I was working with one of my students, and I knew she had a very good sense of humor, and this would not have worked if she didn't have a good sense of humor. And it just came out of my mouth, and I'm like, oh, no, try to get that back. And I was saying to this another student who was doing a reading for the student that was I was working with, it was this platform exercise, and I said to the person receiving the message, I said, don't feed the medium. Look at her, she's eaten enough. And then I realized, oh, geez, I should not have said that, because she was a little overweight, the girl. I was just joking. And I didn't even really look to her until I said that. I looked and she was a little overweight. And, oh, no, I just, because the saying that I had was don't feed the medium, because you don't want to convey, you know, you don't want to throw that.
Yeah.
That's much information. And then I realized afterwards I said, and I said to my person there, I said, I apologize to offend you. I did not mean to offend you whatsoever. And if, oh, no, I didn't, she didn't get what I was talking about. So I said, so when I did, I offered another a class I was doing and across the country much later on. Because I felt guilty. I should not have said that because other people in the class as well. But they got me. I apologize to anybody offended. But some of those moments, just like, oops, didn't mean it, and it comes out.
So a lot of people, and I know you've been asked this a million times, and again, forgive me if it's something that drives you mad, but when people first pass over, some people make a connection very quickly. Other people struggle to make those connections, and it depends largely on, I mean, I have never connected directly to, for example, my nan or my granddad. There's been bits from an aunt, but that, it's very difficult for me to make a connection to somebody in my family.
Mm-hmm.
How do you experience that in terms of people who request? I always reluctant to give a reading for somebody where somebody's only just passed, because I think that there's a process to go through first in terms of grief.
Right. They're very, very, very wise of you. I think that people have to realize that just because someone has left the physical earth and they're in the spirit form doesn't necessarily mean they know how to communicate. They might not know the process of communication. Even I found spirits over a year, 2 years, they still don't sometimes know the exact process of how to concentrate a thought and really transmit a feeling, a thought, you have this memory and transmit the memory. It takes a lot to do that, from my understanding. And just because someone's passed over doesn't mean they know immediately how to do that. So that is a process. Just like on the earth world, there are good recipients and there are bad recipients. There are good communicators, there are bad communicators. Same thing in the spirit world. I find that for me, personally, when there's a very strong emotional link, then I'm able to bring them through much easier with the emotion, whether it's unfinished business, whether it's something that needs to be said, which was never said. That makes it easier for me, I find. For me personally, and I found many of my friends who are mediums also have the situation that it's not easy for them to bring through family members of their own. It's not easy to bring their own personal moms and dads and so forth, because there's also a part of them which gets in the way. And we can't really be, I want to say, completely objective if we're able to bring through our mother. It could be thought, you know, wishful thinking, but I'd like her to say this or that. So it's hard for us mediums who have a conscience here, to do that. It's very hard because of the emotional connection to it. So, but I have done this. This is really interesting, Julie. You'll find this fascinating. I was recently doing a class in Holland, and I've never done this exercise before, and this group of people said, try this. So we had people sit in a group. My class sat in a group of about 18 to 20 people, and I gave them a name. That's all I gave them was a name. And if when they were in the power, they would stand up, be in the power, and give information about this person's name. About the person's name. And it was my father. I didn't tell them that. And it was really interesting how once they were in the power, and I teach them, of course, as they stand up, when to be in the power and when they're not in the power. When they get the yes, they're in the power. They can feel what that's like. When it's no, then they're in the power. They got to sit back down. It worked really, really well. And they got very strong details about the work, about where he lived, about his age when he died, how he died. That was great. So that came from somebody else, you see. And that was an interesting example. Also a great exercise for people. But so those are ways I've gotten in contact with family members through exercises.
And you described your dad saying that when he did come through to you after his passing, he described the earth as quicksand. And you just kind of get bogged down in it. And then suddenly you're released from it?
Yes. Well, my father first passed over. He was in hospital when he passed. He had pneumonia, and it was 2 weeks, he was in a coma. But I saw him above his head. I was able to see his soul there, right there. And he was communicating with me. And I said, it's okay to go. And the family members came in, and we said, it's all right to go. And he finally eventually decided to leave. I mean, once he knew his house was going to be okay, we assured him.
Yeah.
He left. And the first words out of his mouth, from the spirit side of life, he said, I've seen your mother. And this is probably 5 minutes after he left. 5 to 10 minutes. I've seen your mother. I'm 27 years old. I'm wearing a tan suit. He said, what you do is real. You're real. You got it right, James. This is real. I'm alive. He didn't believe in life after death when he was alive. He used to see me on television and didn't necessarily believe I was communicating with spirit. He didn't believe it. So now here he was coming back. First thing he said was, you got it right. I believe I'm alive now.
So, wow. Praise indeed.
Yeah, pretty funny. Pretty funny.
I listened to one of your interviews with Bob Olson. a few years ago now. Great interviewer, isn't he?
He is.
And you were talking about some of the key things that people want to say after they pass to their loved ones, and they want to give those messages. And one of them was, you know, look, I'm not dead, I'm okay, things are great. And then helping people to move on. And how do you think spirit best help people to move on?
Well, it, you know, Julie, it's hard, of course, in each situation, because it's so individualistic. But if we're going to put it more in a more group sense, I would say this, and, you know, as mediums, we learn also as we're doing the work. We're constantly learning. And one of the things I learned recently, a couple of years ago, I would say, and it really was a hard one to give out to a parent. It was a son that came through to parents, and he died, and brought the Lily evidence, and talked about the altar that they had, and the photographs, and his jacket, his shirt, and blah, 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 blah. And he said something which was really interesting, because throughout the evening, I talked about how thoughts are things, and they can see our thoughts, because thoughts are generated in a higher vibration. They see our thought, they see the color of the thought, the texture of the thought. Thoughts are things. So when you think of your loved ones, they see that. And he said to his parents, Mom and Dad, I died once. Don't make me die every day with your thoughts. So that was really hard to say, but I had to say that for this boy, out of respect to him. And it makes a lot of sense to everyone that hears it, because we have to realize that they hear our thoughts, they know our thoughts, and they're alive. They're not a figment of our imagination. They're very, very much alive. And it's kind of a little disrespectful to think that they're dead. At least that's from what they say. Of course, being in the human world, it's hard for us in the physical world, because we want to see it. We want to see it with the physical eyes, but we can't. It's really a test of faith. But the most important messages have been ones that I'm not dead. I hear your thoughts. I hear your prayers. I don't want you to hold back your own progression of life. I'm here to help you. Sometimes they talk about, I had to leave to help you with your soul's journey. For the rest of your, I'm destined to now be in this side of life to help you to progress on your journey on the earth. That's why I had to leave. So it's all these different messages about life is not over, life has just begun. This is only a temporary time that we're not going to see each other, but I still influence you every day. I'm around you every day. You don't need to put a picture of me out. You don't need to say, I hear you, I'm there. You don't need to go to the graveyard or stare at some ashes. That's not who I am. So it's all about moving on. It's all about them helping us with our life. Sometimes I've had, Julie, which is really interesting, spirits come through and have said, you died in a past life first, and I had to wait around, and now it's turned around. You have learned what it's like to stay around, and I had to go on. That's happened before also, which I thought was very startling and really interesting, that and past life regressions that has come through, and the spirit message that's come through before too, which I thought, that's fascinating, especially if someone doesn't believe in reincarnation. So you never know.
Absolutely. So, I mean, one of the criticisms, I suppose, of mediumship is that people naturally go when they're grieving and when they want to hear something. And I know that you've touched on it previously, where you've talked about how it's very hard for spirit to come through when somebody is so wanting of a message, because it can potentially, it can block that message from coming through.
Yes.
And that's how obviously, sometimes other family members might get the message when it's been another person that's really wanted it.
Yes.
And I think when...
Right.
Because that is, you know, we're working with people who are needing direction, or they're needing reassurance, or they're needing permission to move on. How can people tell whether the person they're going to is the right person?
Well, just a couple of things. I could just go back to what you said, because you said some really important things there. Number one, when you go see somebody, or like you said, if you go to see a medium or for a reading, a session, You try to be as open-minded as you can, in that the more you, and a lot of people think this, that the more they think of their loved one, come on, come to him, they're actually blocking the space. They're blocking that space for the spirit to come through. It's very much like a garden hose when you're watering the garden. If you have a crank in that hose, the water can't flow. It's the same thing with the space that's around the medium. The more you try to force that energy, it'll block, and it's harder for them to come through. So they will tend then to go to someone they can get through, whether it's with a family member or a friend. And when we least think of them, they'll come through. Like we're driving the car, we have a thought of them. We're in the shower, we have a thought of them. They can get through that way. So the best way is to be open-minded. How can you help them? By giving them directions before they go see a medium. They should have some kind of directions in that. Maybe you can put a picture out of a loved one a week before, send out a thought, write a letter for them, say, I'm going to be in a medium at this particular time. Please try and be there. You've done it. You've sent out a thought. Go get the message. You know, the more you do it, doesn't mean the more they're going to get it. They got the message on. Let them work on the rest of the experience. And that's it. And go to somebody for a reading. If you're going to go see a medium, somebody who's referred to you. On my website, I have a resource page, and it's only those mediums that I've tested myself. And I take them on all constantly. They're constantly being tested because some have not developed further, and they should, and they haven't, so I take them off. So it's you really should be referred to somebody. I also said, Bob Olson asked the exact same question. I also think price-wise, monetarily, I think it was an average price. If it's that's what you're being paid, that's fine. If it's extravagant, I would say no. You know, it's an exchange of energy, so if you feel that it's right exchange of energy, that's fine. And thirdly, I'd say pay attention to what comes through. Are there at least five pieces of evidential detailed information that no one would know about? And I'm talking about whether it's a name, whether it's a birthmark, whether it's a t-shirt you have with a name on it, something specific, whether it's a certain saying, or they really should be specific. It shouldn't be just you sign it to when he says, I love you, and there needs to be some evidence. At least I say five, just a piece of evidence. And if not, I would ask my money back. I'd end it. I'd say, this is not happening. It's your imagination. I'm very, like I said, very skeptical. So you have to kind of go with an open-minded skepticism, I think, is the best way.
And just to let everybody know, you're very particular with those people on your website. You have a series of tests before people make it to that list of authenticity.
Yeah, I just got a letter from someone from the public who mentioned that reading with someone on my site, and they were very, very disappointed, and they said it was very general and blah, blah, blah. So I pulled them off my site, and now I have to go test them again. So I do pay attention to everybody.
Okay, so you're incredibly busy, man, James. And
yeah.
Before we went on air this evening, just letting everybody know, I could obviously see James on our Skype link, because I'm in the UK and he's clearly not. And the man looks great. And he has been on a European tour, and it's a whistle-stop tour. He's, you know, literally one night here, one night there, living life on a plane. And looks like he's been on a Caribbean holiday and he's just kind of just woken up.
And then I had to come back.
How do you do that?
And then I had to come back to the election. Thank you very much. I literally was flying back to the United States when the election was happening. I it's really funny, Julie. I just came out with a new book called The Power of Love, which just came out last week, so I'm happy with that. I'm working on that. How do I do it? I really keep my enthusiasm up and my joyfulness up. And I've worked on it in that, God, it sounds strange, but I see the bigger picture. I wake up every day with gratitude. I do. I think that every day is an opportunity. I think that every day is an opportunity to change another person's life, how you interact. And I love to laugh at myself. I am so corny, and I have a crazy sense of humor. As you know, a little bit of it now. I'm a little, psycho.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
and you have to be able to laugh at yourself and have fun. And I'm so goofy and corny and funny that I'm my best, my best fan, I think, of that. You have to laugh and have a good time. You can't take it all so seriously, Can't take it all so seriously. And I love what I do. You have to love it. You have to be passionate about what you do. And I've been 35 years of doing this work, and I'm very happy with how the state of things have been, in the world, and things have changed a lot, and as far as mediumship and spiritualism, and much more accepting than it ever used to be. And so I think I've done my part, and I'm very happy about that, and I continue to do some more, and it's good. I think that's how. And I take my vitamins. And I drink wine, I like the wine, I drink martinis, and...
martini, wine, vitamins, and joy.
And laugh a lot. You have to laugh a lot. I had a man recently, I did an event at my last event of the year in Phoenix, Arizona. And there was a man that came up the stage. It was the very end of the weekend. He said, I just want to say that when I saw you 15 years ago, you were so lovely, and all you wanted to do was have a dirty martini. And he said, I want to know, after the 15 years, I just bought you a dirty martini, and he brings it onto the stage. And gives me a martini. And it was fabulous. It was the last event of the year. And I said, well, thank you. That's very, very sweet. And that's how we ended the year of my events. So that was very kind. It was fun.
And that's how you know you're up there and you've made it, James.
Yeah.
When somebody brings you drinks onto the
stage. That really was amazing. I really appreciated that. That was really something to do that and have the thought to do that to someone. That's, I love
yes, and remembered that and held that. And yes. That was important to him for that amount of time.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's amazing. But in Ghost Whisperer, that series, we did that and it was very successful. And I was very, very upset at the beginning when they make them creepy and fearful and all that. And I went to the head of the network and there and I said, you know, I have a hard time with this because people are going to be frightened. Spirituality is supposed to be frightening. I said, I'm not going to do the show. I pulled myself from the show. I said, I will only stay in the show. I said, then you stay associated with it. And I said, I'll only stay in the show if you, at the end of every episode, you leave it where there's a healing that takes place, whether the girl, whether she brings them to the spirit world, or love is the answer, whatever it might be, there's a healing. And that's why I want to leave the energy with the audience. I said it in terms of people, Hollywood people understood. And she goes, okay, we will do that. So at the end of every single episode of The Ghost Whisperer, there's a healing that takes place. And she brings that spirit into light. And that's my thumbprint on it. That's my fingerprint on that show. But that's what I had to fight a lot just to get that point. I remember once they said to me, listen, we want you to go change your costume. I said, change your costume? We need to show more cleavage. I said, you need to show more cleavage in Jennifer Love Hewitt? They said, yes. We want to get the men who buy the cars to watch the show. And I listened, yeah. This is my world. I don't know their world in Hollywood. So it worked with the costumer. They lowered it a little bit. Tell you, Julia, I was shocked, but it worked. It worked. I got to say, it worked. They got a lot more male demographics, and it was, like, shocking. And they got the demographics just by doing that. So, I mean, they know their work, but, you know, it's a fine line between, you know, having responsibility and complete recklessness. It's a fine line you got to always be aware of. And even the nowadays, they have reality shows. Like, I know over there, you have Therese Caputo, Long Island Medium, I think, is now in the UK. And she's a good medium, nice lady. I met her once. I don't know if she's up totally on all the time. I mean, they don't show that as a producer. You know, I don't know if I should say to the audience, you know, listen, she walked into a nail salon, and obviously people don't have microphones on them all the time. So what you portray as her just being right there and she just does it and people have a microphone on, you got to ask yourself, well, they can have microphones on if it was real. So it's portrayed that it's real. She goes in beforehand, she makes her contact, she will make the contact, but then they go back in and mic out the person who's receiving it. So it's just how they portray it, and it's just, to me, it's a little, you know, it's portrayed not in the best way. But the spirit, when I asked about that, they said, James, think of the bigger picture. The bigger picture is people are watching these shows and questioning life after death, that there's life after death. So I said, yes, that is true, too. The bigger picture is they are questioning life after death. Where 30 years ago, they didn't have shows like that.
We have quite a few shows here, and one in particular where they've had a range of different mediums enter onto different investigations, and I think they're quite short-lived mediums. One of our mediums lasted quite a few series, but apart from that, it's quite short-lived. And one of the guys actually stepped off the show and put a public notice out on social media to say, what is being asked of is not real. And yeah. I can't do that because I have to respect spirit. And he was, well, very clearly, he was very quickly axed, and everything had to come off of social media for risk of litigation, etc. But I respect that completely.
Yeah, I left shows, a couple of shows where I refused to do it because they put one in the, what we call it, in a can, they retaped it. And I found out that they knew things before. And I said, listen, I'm not going to be associated with anything like that. This work is too sacred. So you can't do it. Yeah, it's important. It's important, again, it's a fine line. You have to be very, very respectful. And it's sacred. To me, it's very, very sacred work. And you don't want to make it, it's entertainment, but yet it's sacred. So it's, again, a fine line, you know, between the two. But if you're going to teach people, and I think television can be the greatest medium there is because you can reach millions of people and help to educate.
Yeah,
if it's done in the right, with the right hand, if it's held by the people who have the education about the work and they're willing to do it. And it's changing. I think it's changing. You know, more people like you and myself to get out there and get from the right space, I think it certainly helps.
The hour has gone.
Oh, has it already? Why, we have this so much. Yeah.
I could just carry on. I could just move with me games and just sit and chat.
It's like minds, you know. How often do you get to someone who has a like mind and you like to just converse and time flies.
When you first began your mediumship, I know you've heard from many quite prolific people in terms of coming through from spirit, and quite often those moments when they're publicised become they're open to a lot of criticism. And when we saw Derek Acora here with Michael Jackson, and he was completely vilified here, really. And I think we there seems to be a higher amount of criticism given when that person has been so much in the public eye.
Yeah.
Have you experienced that, or how have you managed that?
It's funny enough, very, very, very funny, Julia. It's really funny that a lot of the celebrities that I've brought through have not been done in the public. One was Heath Ledger came to me. Heath Ledger came to me after he passed away. I didn't make it public, but someone found out about it. And it was actually when I was shaving, and he came through to me and said, I screwed up. And he said, can you get to my, I think it was his girlfriend in Brooklyn. And I said, I don't know anything. I think I called a publicist or somebody about it, but it wasn't made public. And someone else found out about it and made it public. That came through to me. Lucille Ball came through to me once, and she said, I was always a fan of Lucille Ball. I loved Lucy's show when I was growing up. And she said, you know me as a healer. I came back to spread love and laughter through my healing is laughter. So that was really interesting. I've had a lot of people come through to me. Princess Diana's come through to me. None of this was made public, but she came through to me to a friend of hers. And she said, I was given the opportunity to stay, but I knew I could help my boys from where I was. Edgar Casey's come through me. A couple of times he came through me. He brought me a white jacket. And he said, Dr. Von Prague. And I said, why do you call me doctor? And he said, because you've helped to heal many hearts, so we call you doctor. So that was very interesting. And he wanted to give me a remedy for my arthritic knee, which actually worked, which was really interesting. Ben Franklin's come through to me. John Kennedy's come through to me. Who else has come through? Oh, the other night we were working in Phoenix and Pope John Paul came through with his name Carl. A Polish relative was in the audience. And he came through, and that was really interesting. I was working with another medium and she made contact. And I kept on saying, the red shoes. It was just so weird. He came through, Pope John Paul. And it was pretty amazing. I was just blown away. And the next contact she made was a pig. So I'm like, Pope and a pig. But then I was watching media. This is what it's like. You know, who's going to come through? We're all the same. Who else has come through? Abraham Lincoln's come through me. Winston Churchill's come through once. Who else? There's ones I can think of. I'm sure there are a lot more, but I never made them public per se. I still haven't done that. Who else has come through? I know. Marilyn Monroe's come through me. She came through me and I wrote a book. This girl was writing books, Lee Strasberg's daughter, Susan Strasberg, in the 80s. And she came through and said, there's a lady named Norma here. And she goes, yes, I know Norma. She was my roommate. I said, she's like an actress. She goes, yes, her name is Norma Rice. Said, oh, is this Marilyn? She goes, yes. And she said, and the only thing she said when Norma or Marilyn came through to say was, I wish the public would pay homage to themselves instead of to me. That's all she said. That was fascinating. It just shows you that, which is the same, but it's those personalities. It's what the humans place on them. They make them stars. They make them bigger than their lives. They make them, Oscar Wilde comes through, a good friend of mine who's a medium, and Oscar Wilde's great when he comes through. He goes, in your world, it's sinful to be normal, but in our world, it's normal to be sinful. It's just so perfect, but we place a lot of stuff on those souls. And when they pass over, there's another one for you. Elvis Presley's come through. Elvis Presley came through a lady who dated him once. And I met actually several ladies who dated him once and met already. And he said, I went to a level that I didn't feel I deserved, but because of all the prayers and thoughts from the people on the earth that pushed me to a higher realm than I really feel I deserved on my own. So that was really interesting too, I thought.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed, James, from, just very briefly, really, having a look at some of your videos and images of you, you wear a ring on your right hand. It's got a large square stone in it.
Yes.
And I get a sense that there's meaning. There's a lot of meaning behind that ring. And I'm just wondering whether you would...
Yeah. I don't have it on me now. I usually only wear that when I'm teaching. Spirit gave me that in a vision, and it's a cobalt blue ring, and I forget where they gave me it. It was not in the United States. It was somewhere else. And they said, this is for you because to initiate you and to bring forth the expression, teaching expression. It's the throat chakra, the blue. And they said, this is going to help you with teaching, with expressing the work. I said, okay. So whenever I teach, I usually feel very, very comfortable wearing it. It's a blue ring. Yeah, blue cobalt blue ring on my right finger. It's very, very true. Very, very observant of you. And,
yeah, well, I saw it, and I knew I had to ask about it. And I was just
aware
that it's important, and I needed to speak about it.
Yeah, I don't wear it when I'm working. When I'm not working, I don't wear it because it's a different vibration, I guess, a different energy. But I know it's almost like every demo I have to have it on. I don't know. It's become that, I don't know, maybe it's my doorway in.
That's just interesting the way, I mean, I think sometimes these things do come to us in that way. So straight away, I was taken straight to the ring. And I wouldn't normally comment on a jewelry that somebody may be wearing. But
a lot of people do. A lot of people comment on it, which is really interesting.
You, it was important. James, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Julie. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Really appreciate having Beth have me on.
For those people who have been listening for the past hour, we have heard not only a little bit about who James is and about how busy he is and how he's dedicated his life to spirit, but it's about his values and how he doesn't deviate from them. And I think that for those of us who are either developing mediums or who are out there working with spirit already, have a look at James's site. It's just filled with so much information. Just type in James Van Praagh, it'll all come up. His website will come up, Twitter, etc. And it will show you all the videos, all the courses he does, how you can develop your skills in a way that is true to spirit. And I think that is probably the most important message tonight that we've heard is just being true to spirit and respecting spirit and not expecting everybody to understand that and everybody to believe in what we believe in. We've heard about how those kind of ethical standards that James continues to hold dear has really supported him through the 30 plus years. See, I'm being very kind here, just going 30 plus, James.
30 plus
years that he's been working. We've touched upon some of the things like, you know, when people talk about feathers appearing in front of you, pennies, robins. We've talked about going to the right person, people that are recommended because of their skills, because of the development, because they've taken time to listen and develop their working with spirit, because they do have a set of values that mean they will help you in any way they can rather than take your cash and give you a cold reading, which we all know that people can do. And we've learned about how important it is to meditate. We've heard a little bit about the fun that James has in terms of reading some of those people that come through, how he manages all of that. And I just want to reference some of the many books that James has written. So James, what's the book you're most proud of?
That's very hard to say because they're all my children, but the most recent one I just did, which came out last week, is called The Power of Love. And I wrote that, I'd say it took 35 years to write The Power of Love because, as you know, it's the bonds of love that we create on the earth that really the way that spirit comes through the living now. It's the loving energy they come through with. And the book is all about that energy, that power that the spirit people use to come through to their loved ones. So it's called The Power of Love, Connecting to the Oneness, which we're all connected to that oneness. So that's the book.
I think if anybody, have a look at the website, have a look on Amazon and buy the book. And, you know, just keep following James because he's absolutely true to spirit. He's good fun. Can't wait to have him back on the show. It's been amazing on and off air. And James, all the best and hope we just continue to keep hearing from you.
To find out more about our show, guests, or listen to a previous show, visit our website at www.somethingweirdmedia.com.